From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My message to any state or any other hostile actor thinking about attacking Israel remains the same as it was a week ago. Don't. 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 Since this terrorist attack took place, we've seen it described as Israel's 9/11. Though for a nation the size of Israel, it was like 15 9/11s. The scale may be different, but I'm sure those horrors have tapped into some kind of primal feeling in Israel, just like it did and felt in the United States. Shock, pain, rage, an all-consuming rage. I understand, and many Americans understand. You can't look at what has happened here to your mothers, your fathers, your grandparents, sons, daughters, children, even babies, and not scream out for justice. Justice must be done.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It's 7 minutes past the hour of 10 p.m. on Wednesday night here on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is. Wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show, that was Joe Biden, who basically had a cup of coffee in Israel. He landed about our time. He landed at about 3 in the morning Eastern time. And he's in the air, I guess, flying back home. The Arab leaders that he was supposed to meet with canceled their meeting. We talked about that last night. All of them, of course, accusing Israel, along with the rest of the world and the media, of bombing that hospital in Gaza, which there's concrete proof, video and otherwise, that they did not. The missile that Palestinian Islamic Jihad launched that hit it didn't even hit score a direct hit on the building. It landed in the parking lot. Anyway, there's so much to talk about. And I am so excited about tonight because I'm hooking up with an old friend who I used to talk to all the time. And you know him if you ever watched Fox, or he was with me on Newsmax. And that's Major General U.S. Army, retired chairman of a Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, General Paul Vallely. Sir, it is so good to talk to you again. I can't tell you.
Steve, I feel the same way. I've missed you now for a couple of years when we used to do so much together, but we're back together again.
Yes, and it's unfortunate that it's under these circumstances, certainly, but I can't wait to ask you. I mean, why don't we start at the end and work our way back? But what you saw today with the president, and what the president said, and when he, you know, made remarks saying that Israel shouldn't get caught up in anger like the U.S. did after 9/11. When asked on the plane ride home, he held an impromptu with reporters on the plane on Air Force One, and they said, "Is Israel going into Gaza?" And he kind of he hesitated and said, "Well, we talked about it." In other words, it seems to me like he thinks, and the U.S. thinks, that they're basically telling Israel what to do, and maybe they talked them out of going into Gaza. What's your take on all this?
Well, it's very sad, Steve. Biden has become irrelevant. That's why they disrespected him in the Far East, the Middle East, when he went over there. King Abdullah in Jordan, President al-Sisi in Egypt, who I know very well. There's no respect for him. They know he's just a pawn. He follows Obama's orders. He's totally irrelevant. He's not mentally competent. And everybody sees that. Netanyahu sees it. The Israelis see it. So that was a waste of taxpayers' money. He has no impact anymore, nor does any of his executive people in the executive branch, national security. Our military doesn't have any respect anymore. It's a sad situation, Steve.
It really is. And when you look at when you look at what has happened, I've been amazed, and I'm not a military guy at all, and I know I know from the last times that Israel went into Gaza, I know about the booby traps. I know about everything, the tunnels and, you know, and the door-to-door fighting and the big toll that Israel has paid in the past. And now you've got other threats and more sophistication, unfortunately, on the part of Hamas. But they have do you believe that Israel, militarily speaking, not only should go in, but at this point, don't they really have to go in? I mean, to get the mission accomplished to defeat ISIS and eradicate ISIS, which is their stated mission, and, you know, to not let Hamas be able to feed the line that Israel was afraid to go in.
Hamas must be defeated 100%. And right now, if I can paint a picture, you put a circle around those seven countries over there. You look at the chessboard, you find out that the mullahs in Tehran are running everything. They have their plans. They've sent those plans to Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, to Hamas, whatever leaders are left there. But the ground operation has to commence. They've got to secure, and I look at it as Pac-Man. The IDF will go in from the north, from the east, and from the south. The Israeli Navy will be on the Mediterranean side of Gaza. They have to clear it out. Now, the question is, it's very dicey here trying to rescue those hostages that are probably being hid in the tunnels. And so, you know, how do you conduct that kind of warfare? Block to block in Gaza, it will be very tough because the tanks now, there's so much rubble in Gaza that they'll have to act like, if you remember Pac-Man, they'll have to chew the sides, north, south, in the east of Gaza, and march in and finally defeat Hamas and remove them. Now, in the end, I think Israel needs to take over the Gaza area. They need to take care of a lot of Palestinians who are just being ruled and they're pawned by Hamas, so they can create jobs. You remember the Intifada, Steve, with Arafat when he came out of North Africa? At that time, yeah. Israel employed over 200,000 Palestinians in Israel, in industries and shops and so on and so forth. So it's an economical, it's a financial thing too for the Hamas people, excuse me, for the Gazans. I'll call them that, the Palestinians. You get confused in all these terms.
Right.
But there are solutions. And we don't have the national security team in place to give advice to Netanyahu. We've got those hostages really wormy. I know we have Delta over there now and special ops working with Mossad, Shin Bet, and the Israeli special ops forces to try to find out where those hostages are and to get them out alive. You may remember that Egypt, they flooded the tunnels down in Rafah in the southern Gaza area. You can use sleeping gas. You can put them all to sleep. There's a lot of ways that I know in special ops that we can pursue those people that are in the tunnels. Now, I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but being in special ops for 20 years, I understand all of that. So anyhow, I don't know when they're going to start the ground operation. They're set. They're ready to go. The Israeli Navy is set to go on the Mediterranean side. We have two aircraft carrier groups, 8 to 12 ships each in the Eastern Mediterranean. We also have Marine Expeditionary Forces on board in those carrier groups. And our other assets in Spain, Italy, have also been alerted on standby. So we're ready to go in case Iran goes crazy and tries to launch an attack against Israel. Then it's World War III, basically, in the
Middle
East.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was going to be my next question. I mean, look, they're saying every day, I mean, Hamas, and correct me if I'm wrong, not Hamas, Hezbollah has 100,000 rockets.
Thousands.
Okay, and I got to think that they're a lot more precise than what Hamas lobs into Israel, and they're coming from the north, and it's going to put a lot of major cities at risk. And do you believe that if Israel goes into Gaza, let's say, goes after Hamas, and then and then Iran unleashes Hezbollah, which is how it would work, it would come from Iran. Do you what do you believe the U.S. might do at that point? Would they bomb Lebanon? Would they would Israel and or the United States say this is it and go after and hit some targets in Iran?
Well, Steve, I've been up to Matula, which is northern Israel. That's where the Golani Brigade is positioned, coming named after the Golan Heights. So the Golani Brigade is in charge of protecting Israel from Hamas and also Syria in the Golan Heights, which is right on the Syrian border. But the green light has to be lit by Iran. And when they do that, there'll be a launch. Now, Israeli intelligence knows where all those tunnels are on that border up there. They know where the rocket and missile positions are. They know what's in the Bekaa Valley. And so the Israeli intelligence is very good. And we have the same intelligence, by the way. So if Hezbollah launches, then there's going to be a great response, I think, from us, from our fleet forces in the Eastern Mediterranean, and also from the IDF and the Golani Brigade. So they're prepared to do that. They know what to hit. It's all in their targeting list, as we call it, in defense strategy. We have a target list of what to hit in phase one, phase two, phase three. That's the way the military strategists work this. And so they're prepared to do that.
We're talking to retired General Paul Vallely, who is the chairman of Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. And you could check that out at standupamericaus.org. And please do that. General, let me ask you about how Ukraine fits into all this. The president is supposed to address the nation on Thursday evening, I guess. And he is going to, I guess, announce, among other things, that he's asking for more aid for Ukraine and for Israel. And he's already, if I heard it right, he's already promised the Palestinians, which just blows my mind, promised the Palestinians another $100 million for Gaza and the West Bank, as if that's going to go to the Palestinians, you know, the people, I mean. So should Ukraine be conflated with aid to Israel, or should this be all be done separately? What's your take on that? I mean, they're not the same, I don't think. And I know that the American people, they were split at best on continuing unlimited aid to Ukraine, right? And with the media acting as Hamas spokesperson and a vehicle for Hamas, it's not going to take long until the American people start getting tired of what Israel's doing as well.
Well, I don't think we'll tire as much as with Israel as we will with Iran and with Ukraine. That situation's gone off the screen, as you can see, over the last week. You don't hear anything on Ukraine, but that's coming to an end. Putin will get his way. All the dollars that we put into Ukraine have been totally wasted by a very corrupt country up there. Putin only wants to control that eastern part of Ukraine. He's not interested in advancing and taking over any other countries. That's all Western propaganda. Putin is in good mind. He's working at a very high level of chess. We're working at a very low level of checkers, if I may use that as an example. So I think that will be coming to an end very soon. Ukraine has lost so many soldiers and people. It's unbelievable. Over 15 million have already left the country of Ukraine. So that's a whole separation. We're not handling that well. We're not handling anything well right now with this national security team we have. And I'm not confident our generals and admirals know what the hell to do. We haven't won a war since World War II, for example. What's going on in America? You got to connect the dots, America. Stand up. We cannot tolerate this incompetence at the highest level of our government anymore. We've got to do something about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You said Obama's, I don't put words in your mouth, but you implied that Obama's calling the shots. I've been saying that
he's in charge
from the beginning. And, you know, I'll repeat what I've said on this show before. Right after Biden won in November of 2020, Obama went on one of the late night shows, and right, they asked him, What would a third term look like for you? And he's such a narcissist that he spilled the beans. He said, "Well, yeah. I envision myself in the basement somewhere, with a microphone, and there's and the person in the Oval Office has an earpiece, and that's exactly what's happening.
That's exactly what happened. It's all been planned. It's all been planned, and Obama's a puppet of the World Economic Forum." The globalist, Soros and Bill Gates and all those guys, they're running everything right now. But America, you know, Steve, I talk to a lot of intelligent people, college graduates, been in government, so on. There are so many Americans that can't connect the dots yet. That's so frustrating because at our foundation, our newsletter, we put out this information every week and people say, Paul, John Valley, how can this be? Well, it's all been planned out according to schedule. Yeah. And America, cut the dots. Get off your asses and do something.
And the scary part when it comes to Israel is that as poorly as Biden had up until this point treated Israel and Netanyahu, we know that Obama had no use for him. Let him go out the side entrance when he left the White House, put his feet up facing the camera when he had a phone conversation with Netanyahu. And that in the Arab world, I remember the reports at the time showed utter disrespect. He knew what he was doing.
Right.
And he was writing the Ayatollah, the head of Iran, the murderous dictator, authoritative creep of Iran, begging him to meet with him. So we know what Obama is, and I can't see it changing on a dime here for Israel. I'm sorry to say,
Biden is the dumbest guy we've ever had as president. Totally clueless, as Obama said, he could F everything that he touched, and he would, and that's what he's done. And these lightweights they have in State Department, CIA, FBI, I mean, how can America get to this state right now? How could we let it be? America, you've been asleep. You better wake up, because we're headed to worse things in the next 10 months, Steve. We're looking for... cells in our country that have come across our southern border, including Iranians. We're going to have some kind of an event, maybe bigger than 9/11. I don't know.
God forbid. I mean, it's just so frightening. They don't know where these people are. They say that they say the border's secure. You got a vice president who was at Northern Arizona University the other day, and she was asked by some Palestinian kind of activist and talked about our horrific, inhumane immigration policy that kills children, and Israel that kills children. And her answer was just so, oh my God, like a third grade answer. And it's they don't care. They don't know. And you're right. And general, it's on every level. It's militarily. It's the terrorist threat.
Every level.
In our schools.
Everywhere.
If you fell asleep, general, if you and I fell asleep after our last interview 7 years ago, whatever, and woke up, we'd say, what country is this? What world is this? Right.
We could have never imagined what's happened just in 3 years under Biden and Obama. And where are the Republicans? We don't have any Republicans that could stand up that have any guts or courage. They can't even elect a speaker right now. They're pawns to the Democrats. The leftist Communist Democratic Party are running everything. They're getting away with it. They're smiling right now because Republicans can't elect a speaker.
I say that every day. And, you know, Rashida Tlaib with what she did today, will play the bite in a little while. And the anti-Semitic grip that they have on the Democrat Party. It is so outrageous. It is so unbelievable. I played all these bites yesterday. Hakeem Jeffries, right?
Yeah.
His uncle, Leonard Jeffries, in the 90s, was a professor at City University of New York. And he lost his job because he started with rabid anti-Semitic rhetoric. And when asked about it in 2012, Hakeem Jeffries said, I was in Binghamton University at the time. I did the papers weren't covering it. Turns out, and get this, CNN actually reported this earlier in the year, that not only did he know what was going on, he wrote an editorial supporting his uncle, held a press conference with a black group on campus to support his uncle, to support Louis Farrakhan. And so why isn't this guy being asked to denounce everything he said previously, to denounce his uncle, to take it all back? No, and here's where I blame the Republicans. They trash Jim Jordan, the Democrats, as he's running. They trash McCarthy. They trash him all. They bring up, oh, he did this. He's an insurrectionist. He's this. No. So where's McCarthy and the rest of them to say, your leader praised Louis Farrakhan and his anti-Semitic uncle? Why don't they say that? I don't understand it.
Well, it's all a matter of focus and funding. And, you know, the media is so naive. There's no investigative reporting going on other than a few. And it's just horrible. Again, I'll go back to America. You're so naive. You got to connect the dots. We're headed into a revolution in this country. You've got to stand tall. You got to protect the Constitution. What's happening on our universities is absolutely incredible. And they are finally Wall Street. Some of these corporations, some of these CEOs are standing up now against Harvard and Cornell and some of the other universities. As soon as you take the money away from them, Steve, things change.
Yeah. And one more for you, General, then I want you to just tell the folks a little about your organization. If this, you know, this false premise that ever since Trump came into office, anti-Semitic incidents, anti-Semitism, Trump's an anti-Semite. Look at who the anti-Semites and the Nazi lovers are. Every left-wing group you could imagine. They're all leftists. They're all Democrats. They're all radical leftists. I don't know what they think, but I don't see white supremacists protesting in the streets for Hamas. I see Black Lives Matter tweeting out their support. Yeah. I see every group you could imagine. And where's the Justice Department? Because if it was Trump supporters out in the street supporting Hamas, every one of them would have their name on a list at the Justice Department.
Absolutely. But, you know, there's two things that I brought up in many of my articles. Number one, what are the governors doing in these states, in our states? The governor's got to stand up using the 10th Amendment, federal rights versus state rights. The Supreme Court has got to be more active. They just can't sit on their ass and wait for a case to come before them. With all the injustices, illegalities occurring in the Department of Justice and the FBI, the Supreme Court has to be proactive now. They're the third leg of our government. And that's sort of, I've been focusing on that and preaching that, but I haven't had many governors, even red state governors, stand up much to try to really use the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting point. Nobody talks about that at all. Okay, so tell us about Stand Up America US.
Yeah, well, we were founded in 2006 by Lieutenant General Tom McInerney and myself, Stand Up America US Foundation. We've been around since 2006. We have great support all over our country. Our newsletter is opened up that comes out every Saturday in over 20 countries right now. And one of the biggest openers is in Sweden, which is interesting. So we produce our newsletter, sign up, go to the website, standupamericaus.org, and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a lot of information. You'll love the one coming out this Saturday. And we do a repeat on Monday. Support us, Excellent. Donate to us. We do a lot of great things. We spend our money very effectively in supporting almost 20 different organizations throughout the country, like Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk on all the campuses and Judicial Watch. And so we do a lot of great things to support the cause to save America and restore America finally. Oh, by the way, Steve, I have a new book coming out. It's out now on Amazon called Invisible Treason in America, where we identify not only individuals who have conducted treason in America, but now a new thing that our forefathers never really considered. We have organizations conducting treason against our country.
Yeah.
And that's our new book, Invisible Treason in America.
And that's on your website, I'm sure. Again, the website, folks.
And Amazon right now, right?
Great, great. So standupamericaus.org. Check it out, folks. General, we will speak again if you will give me the honor, and please say hello to your lovely wife, and I thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
That my pleasure. That's Paul Vallely, Major General, U.S. Army, retired, Chairman of Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, here on the Steve Malzberg Show. So good to reconnect with my friend. And folks, we will continue right here on TNT Radio.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
While serving in Afghanistan, I was hit by sniper fire. The fighting was so intense, the medevac chopper was barely able to land. In the hospital, I was given a 5% chance to live. It's a good thing math wasn't my best subject. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I talk to kids about dealing with life's struggles. I tell them, with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
I know that some struggles are big and some are small, but they're all struggles, and you have to learn to get through them. With support from DAV, more veterans like me can live their best life. And as a new father, I have one more reason to keep on keeping on. My victory is being there for the next generation.
Adam Alexander, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The only real prison is fear. And the only real freedom is freedom from fear. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
But I caution this: while you feel that rage, don't be consumed by it. After 9/11, we were enraged in the United States. While we sought justice and got justice, we also made mistakes. I'm the first U.S. president to visit Israel in time of war. I've made wartime decisions. I know the choices are never clear or easy for the leadership. There's always cost, but it requires being deliberate. It requires asking very hard questions. It requires clarity about the objectives and an honest assessment about whether the path you're on will achieve those objectives. The vast majority of Palestinians are not Hamas. Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people. Hamas uses innocent families in Gaza as human shields, putting their command centers, their weapons, their communications tunnels in residential areas. Palestinian people are suffering greatly as well. We mourn the loss of innocent Palestinian lives like the entire world. I was outraged and saddened by the enormous loss of life yesterday in the hospital in Gaza. Based on the information we've seen to date, it appears the result of an errant rocket fired by a terrorist group in Gaza.
Yeah, he also went on to say it was done by someone on the other team. The other team. Look, I give him credit for flying there, even after the Arab nations that we give money to. We give millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to Abbas, to Egypt, and to Jordan. And all three of them said to Biden, screw you. Why? Why? Because Hamas made up a story that Israel bombed that hospital, and pathetic pieces of garbage on media outlets ran with it because Hamas said so? Hamas! The group that slit the throats of people and hunted them down and shot them en masse two Saturdays ago. I mean, why not believe them? Makes sense to me, right? You got to be kidding. But no, we're not kidding. We're not kidding. These television networks are out of the, well, look, you know, the anti-Semitic pigs on these networks, that's one thing. People, I'm not saying that if you're Jewish, but it just didn't matter who was it, who it was, what network it was. Hamas says, the Palestinians say. So what does that mean? A terrorist group? And now we have video of the rocket being launched from Gaza and falling right behind the hospital, which is where that explosion occurred. We have verbal audio of one terrorist talking to another terrorist saying, that was me or that was us. We have other videos. Al Jazeera, I think, had it live. And Israel TV, Channel 12, had their cameras on with the timestamp. And they showed it after the fact that it came from Gaza. But none of this matters. None of this matters. They're still doubting Israel. National security people have confirmed to Biden that it wasn't Israel. Doesn't matter. None of it matters. It's bizarro world. It's insane. It doesn't matter because it's the Jews. It's the Jews. And if Israel was annihilated, God forbid, tonight, you would have the same left-wing scumbags marching, but only more of them, in every city that they've been marching in, celebrating, you name it. And if you think the Palestinians wouldn't be celebrating, and when Biden says the Palestinians aren't Hamas, they might not all be Hamas. A lot of them are. A lot of them support him. A lot of them voted for him. But let's not forget the peace lover, Mahmoud Abbas, who hasn't held an election in God knows how many years. The peace lover who pays his people, if they go murder Jews, men, women, and children, civilians, in a terror attack, they're declared martyrs and their families get a lifetime a payment. No, they're not Hamas, but they're just as bad. They teach their children to kill the Jew. They teach their children to take Jerusalem with their blood. It's in textbooks. It's on television shows with Mickey Mouse. What kind of society is that? Oh, Hamas says they bombed the hospital from Israel did it. Oh, really? Oh, that must be true. It's just insanity, total insanity. And then you got this thing named Rashida Tlaib, who put on Twitter that Israel did it. Israel killed the children. Israel killed this. Israel did that with the hospital. Of course, she has a history of these anti-Semitic rants. She wouldn't answer the question that Peter Doocy's wife followed her through the halls of Congress. I played this for you last week. Do you denounce cutting off the heads of babies? Do you denounce what Hamas did? Do you denounce cutting off the heads of babies? Can't you denounce cutting off the heads of babies and killing babies? She wouldn't say boo because, of course, she can't denounce it. She cheers it. She's the only Palestinian in Congress. And she took to the street before some kind of rally and started crying because mean old Israel. And this is after Israel showed proof that they didn't do it. And the U.S. said they didn't do it. Didn't matter. Here's Rashid Tlaib, cut number 222.
Continue to watch people think it's okay to bomb a hospital with children. You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry and like let them cry and they're shaking and somebody, you know this, they keep telling them not to cry. in Arabic. They can cry. I can cry. We all can cry. If we're not crying, something is wrong. And so I'm telling you right now, President Biden, not all America's with you on this one. And you need to wake up and understand that. We are literally watching people commit genocide and killing a vast majority just like this. And we still stand by and say nothing. We will remember this. But all of you, you need to know. I swear to God, Allah, you are on the right side of history. You are. You're doing everything possible to save lives. What is wrong with that? Stop it with trying to try to politicize this.
Stop trying to politicize it, says the congresswoman. Mediaite. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Democrat, Michigan, ignored reporters. Not the baby Hamas thing that I mentioned before. This is today. Ignored reporters confronting her over her unfounded statement blaming Israel for an attack on a hospital in the Gaza Strip, instead slipping into a waiting car outside of the Capitol building Wednesday afternoon. Yep. Israel just bombed, the Baptist hospital, killing 500 Palestinians, doctors, children's patients, just like that, wrote Tlaib on X at POTUS, which is Biden. This is what happens when you refuse to facilitate a ceasefire and help de-escalate. Your war and destruction only approach has opened my eyes and many Palestinian Americans and Muslims Americans alike. Like me, we will remember where you stood. And we will remember the false bullcrap and incitement that you put out there. Because Israel did not bomb the Baptist hospital. They did not bomb the Baptist hospital. I want you to listen to Israel's Channel 12. Now, you can't see the video that I saw, but I saw it, and it's out there. This is a TV network. This is not a radio, Israel's Channel 12. I want you to listen to Cut 224.
This is proof of Israel's claims that it was actually missiles from the Gaza Strip shot into the direction of the El Ahli hospital in Gaza City and not from Israel. This is Channel 12's camera. It is a camera situated in the city of Netivot, and its view is of the Gaza Strip. You see the time stamp on this. It's 6:59, and this is when it happens. We can press play on the tape, and you can see very clearly. Again, this is Channel 12's camera. You can see the rockets. This is the left red stamp fired over the hospital, which is the right, and you can see the blast. So that is proof of the fact that it came from the Gaza Strip, cameras, Channel 12's cameras. The President of the United States has already said it appears it was done by the other team, meaning he also realizes that it was shooting from inside Gaza over the hospital.
And Al Jazeera, from what I've heard, actually broadcast it live. And the Israeli Defense Forces, they released, as I said, a communication, an audio communication between two terrorists, two Nazis, saying we did it, saying like, uh-oh, that was us. Of course it was them. A bombing attack from Israel on that hospital would have leveled the building. Building wasn't leveled. I mean, there's absolutely no sense to it. But Hamas says so. The Nazis say so. Better listen to the Nazis. Here's Chuck Schumer. And I got to tell you, Chuck Schumer, I despise as a politician. And he's not so great as a human being either, if you ask me. He's silent as Jews are attacked in his home state of New York, his hometown of Brooklyn. In many cases, African Americans commit hate crimes against Orthodox Jews, and it's disgusting. And Schumer says absolutely nothing. This is the first time I've heard him say anything about Israel or Jews. I was almost shocked. here he was talking on some Zoom call to, it said Jewish Democrats. I don't know if that means, I don't know who they were. But here's, and it's a little hard to hear, but here's cut 223.
Regret the loss of any life, any innocent life. Now there's proof put out by the Israelis that the rocket, of course, was not from the from Israel, but rather was from one of the Palestinian groups that works with Hamas. And this is what Israel's up against. Israel didn't put out a statement immediately because they were checking it. They wanted the truth. Hamas immediately said, oh, the IDF did it. They lied through their teeth. And, you know, for 6 hours, the world blamed Israel unfairly. Now the word is getting out, and I think all of us have an obligation to get that proof out that the IDF showed about that.
It wasn't just 6 hours. It's still happening. It's still happening. The media, people like CNN, they bring up,
well, you know, the IDF hasn't been truthful and accurate in the past.
Oh, Hamas has? And they point to this journalist that was killed, and Israel initially claimed that the journalist was killed. And this is a few years ago, I think. The journalist was killed in the crossfire, and they claimed the Palestinians that had killed her. And in the crossfire of a gun battle, and it turned out that it was an IDF bullet that killed her. And eventually they said, yeah, it was us. But so because of that and a couple of other instances, you know, they believe Hamas over Israel when there's video proof. When our own State Department, our own people have looked at the proof, have looked at the circumstances and said, nope. Yeah, Israel didn't do it. They still doubt. It's just insane. We're talking about Nazis of Hamas, who for decades, going back to Arafat, would put out phony videos, phony pictures, stage, babies being carried into and out of ambulances. They once got caught doing this, taking the same baby in and out, in and out, in and out. To help make it look like there was, you know, constant shuffle of babies going in and out. And someone focused on, well, why is this same person baby coming in and out and in and out and in and out? I'm not saying people that aren't getting killed and aren't getting hurt and it's a tragedy and all that. But my God, when Hamas immediately says Israel did it, and the media, the Associated Press, and other media outlets, I mean, really, the New York Times? Well, should we be surprised? Should we be surprised? Anyway, what are you going to do? That's the world. They hate Israel. You got a bunch of Jew haters. And Israel, that's why Israel's held to this higher standard. Oh, proportionality. Let's see, how many did Hamas kill on that Saturday? Well, I guess Israel can only kill that many in return. It's like a game. It's like a war game. It's like a board game. If you go over, you violated international law. All right, we're coming back. Steve Malzberg, final segment coming up right here on TNT Radio.
Climate change is truly becoming a religion. Way do you get a load of this?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In 2023, Time Magazine called for, quote, the case for making Earth Day a religious holiday. Not to be left out, the Washington Post featured a religious theologian, Susan Brooks Thistlewaite, urging us to, quote, repent for our sin of causing bad weather due to the, quote, moral evil of climate change denial. On the pages of the New York Times, New York Times warmest activist Paul Krugman added, quote, those who deny global warming, may you be punished in the afterlife for doing so. Krugman goes on to call climate denial a, quote, almost inconceivable sin. So there you have it. Climate change is a new religion as supported by our mainstream corporate media, or more accurately, a climate cult. Reject the climate emergency. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
See, Smokey thinks I'm funny.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that means we are back. All right, so let me, wow, this hour just flew by. I'm so discombobulated here. So Jake Tapper, the aforementioned Jake Tapper, after the U.S. government said Israel didn't bomb that hospital, it was Palestinian Islamic Jihad. I don't know if they ever said it was Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but they said it wasn't Israel. Okay. And I want you to hear, just give a listen to this. Here's cut 218.
Caitlin, we just got this very consequential statement from the National Security Council. We should note it is not unheard of for the Palestinian authorities, the hospitals and the health ministry, which are controlled by Hamas, which the U.S. government does label a terrorist organization, it is not unheard of for them to misfire and kill their own people accidentally and blame it on Israel. And it does seem as though that is what the National Security Council believes happened here.
Yeah, and if, do you think that the leaders, these Arab leaders, canceled their trip because of what happened at the hospital in Gaza? And if,
yes.
And you do, and if it is true that the Israelis were not responsible, then what does that say of the willingness of these Arab leaders to just automatically believe whatever the Palestinians say, even if what they're saying isn't accurate?
Wow. To hear Jake Tapper kind of, it was so hard to, it was like pulling teeth. Did you hear it? You know, it's not, dude, you know, it's not not all that unusual. You know, every so often and once in a while, it's possible that maybe, just maybe, you know, the Palestinians have killed their own people accidentally and blamed it on Israel. And then he ran off and hid. No. But he actually said it. He actually said it. I mean, after our security people here in this country said it wasn't Israel, Jake Tapper was actually then saying, oh, well, you know, maybe now, maybe, you know, Hamas is a terrorist group. And, you know, I don't want to doubt them completely. But, you know, are you kidding me? Why is this even an issue? Why was it ever an issue? Shouldn't it have been from the very beginning? Well, Hamas says Israel did it, but we should wait and see what the investigation turns up. We should wait and see what Israel says and what evidence they present, or what evidence Hamas presents. Has Hamas presented any evidence? Of course not. They don't have any evidence. That's what it should have been from the beginning. Instead, all you saw, Palestinians, .. you know, colon. When I say colon, I think of a colonoscopy, so I don't like to say the word colon. Actually, the colonoscopy is the best sleep you get. It's the preparation for the colonoscopy. Why am I talking about colonoscopy? See, I said colon. That's why I say .. So back to .. .. Palestinians .. Israel bombs blah, 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 blah. 500 killed, blah, 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 the hospital. And that's all you saw on the screen. That's all they talked about. Palestinians say no. Palestinians don't say it. We're supposed to say the Palestinians are in Hamas, right? Hamas said it. Nazis said it. And that's good enough for Jake Tapper and CNN and the New York Times and the Associated Press and I'm sure every other BBC and all the rest of them. All right, now here's this guy, Jeremy Dimon, with Aaron Burnett on CNN. Trying to see when this was. Doesn't matter when it was. Listen to him. Now, never once does he say, you know, you got to be careful what Hamas says. They're a bunch of terrorists. No, it's Hamas said it. Israel denies it, but we got to be careful because Israel has denied other things in the past. So Hamas has the high ground on this. Here's cut 219.
They are providing a lot of intelligence that they say that they have gathered, both conversations with Hamas militants and also pointing to some of the facts on the ground. One of the key pieces of information that they said that bolsters their claim is this idea that there was no crater on the ground. But amid all of this, we have already watched as the Arab world in particular has already made up their mind about the situation. And that is something that Israel is certainly fighting against. And they're fighting against it because they have had a credibility problem in the past, including with the killing of the journalist Shireen Abu Akleh last year, when the Israeli government initially claimed that it was Palestinian militants and not Israeli soldiers who fired on her. I asked the IDF spokesman that question. Among other incidents, the Israeli government initially claimed that it was armed Palestinian militants who killed the journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, which we know is not true. So why should the world trust you now?
Because of the importance of credibility, we took the time. It took us more than 5 hours. We wanted to double check everything, make sure we're credible. Again, we wanted to double check everything, make sure we're credible, opposed to the other events that you mentioned.
All right. So why should we believe you now? We could believe Hamas. They wouldn't fool us. They wouldn't lie to us. Now, here's this Palestinian legislator on the morning show on CNN. This was this morning before Biden accepted that the U.S. government and the Israeli Defense Forces both had proof that it wasn't Israel. But here it is, cut 220.
People are very angry, and of course, nothing can be more embarrassing than a deliberate war crime of an Israeli airstrike killing civilians and killing innocent children and women. 500 victims and hundreds of other injured who could die at any moment. And let me tell you that what we believe is that, and we urge you to remember, that the Israeli military lied to the world in many occasions before changing their stories. Many times. A very good example of that was their denial of killing the American Palestinian journalist Shireen Abu Akleh and changing their story 4 times. Today, they already changed their story 3 times, but the world doesn't notice that. The first time they said that they struck the hospital because there were militants, Hamas militants hiding there. Then they said that Hamas is taking Palestinian civilians as shields, human shields. Then they said that it was jihad and it was a rocket of jihad. I do not believe any of this nonsense.
Now, when did Israel claim that they struck the hospital because, you know, it was a Hamas stronghold, the Hamas had stuff there? When did Israel say that? They changed their story 3 times. First, they said they did it because it was a Hamas, you know, hideout. They never said that. Never, never. That's a blatant lie right there. A blatant lie right there. Then they said that Hamas was taking Palestinians as human shields with regard to this hospital thing. They never said that. I mean, they have this guy on. The whole thing is a lie. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. To be honest with you, I'd say it's a lie. It's worse. It's like he's talking about something else. I don't know what he's talking about. Doesn't matter. CNN, let him talk, because that's the media. And we're talking about Jews and they don't count. Folks, thank you. God willing. See you tomorrow. Jason Ola. Oh, my God. I told you I'm all messed up in the head. Right. Jason's next. Email me at stevemalzberg@tntradio.live. Jason Olaborn is next. I'm Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.